Okay, so I'm going to get started with a little bit of history. Has anybody here heard of the Slave Bible? Anybody heard of the Slave Bible? Raise your hand if you've heard of the Slave Bible. Okay. You're supposed to raise your hand if you heard of it. Anyone heard, you heard of the Slave Bible? Okay, one person. Okay. So the Slave Bible was actually a Bible. It was used by missionaries in the early 19th century. And so many of people are probably here aware that slavery was not just here in America, okay? Parts of the Caribbean, the West Indies, slavery was actually there as well. And so in the 19th century, the missionaries wanted to share the gospel with the slaves and also give them an ability to learn how to read. Now, the difference with this Slave Bible is that the Slave Bible did not contain references to freedom. It did not contain the book of Exodus, because that's problematic, right? But as we know, despite man's efforts, God still had a plan, and slavery was ended, and we are thankful for that, right? Many people are. but I would say that, unfortunately, I think that many of us today are in a similar situation, but we don't know it. The Barna Group did some research. If you've heard of the Barna Group, they do like a lot of biblical research, how people relate to the Bible and their society. And even though in this society still 77% self-identify as Christians, according to the Barna Group, only 25% of self-identified Christians read their Bible on a regular basis. So I would say our situation is worse because we have access to the full Bible, but we don't read it. And so hopefully as we go through this sermon today, I can highlight why it's important. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and 7. And if you can say amen when you get there, so I can know where we're at. Okay. Difficult times will come. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he says this. Give you a few more moments. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and I'll also read 7. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of God, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. And then verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, Paul is interesting because you're thinking, as you read this passage, he's just talking about the world in general. And yes, he is talking about the world in general. But in verse 5, what does he say? He says, having what? A form of godliness, but denying its power. So to me, that's instructive because that's saying that Paul is not just talking to the world. That means he's talking to the church. This letter was addressed to the people in the church, right? And if you look around the world, and unfortunately sometimes you look around at some churches, you see some of the things that are in the world in the church. And I think that the issue that, as I'm reading the Bible and as I'm trying to point out today, is that as Christians, we should be different. I mean, I don't know how more to say it, right? But as Christians, we should be different, right? Because we know God. And because we know God, that knowledge of God, that relationship with God, should make us different. And then verse 7 says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now that's interesting because truth sanctifies. And when we receive the truth, especially as it is in Jesus, it sanctifies us and it fits us for a work that God has given us to do. And hence the importance of the Bible. And the reason I point this out is that I've been in church long enough. I've been a baptized member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church for 20 years, okay? And I'm pretty sure there's still a lot for me to see and grow. But this is something that I've observed in Adventist churches. And so because we're brothers and sisters here, I can be honest, right? When I think about this ever learning and coming to the knowledge of the truth, you know, honestly, what I think about is many of us, especially in Sabbath school class, are biblical scholars. When we are criticizing our brother, we are biblical scholars, right? But when the opportunity comes for us to share our faith, for some reason we go silent, right? That's what I think about ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Because when we're in the truth, we realize that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but what? In spiritual wickedness in high places, right? So our brothers and sisters aren't the ones that we need to be going against, right? But we have a message to share and give to other people. And what is that message? What is that message that we have to give, and how do we know that message? Now, first, I have to say this. Denying its power. We all know where that power comes from. That power comes through a relationship, a connection to Jesus Christ. But how do we have that connection? Let's go to John chapter 15, verse 7. John chapter 15, verse 7. And when you're there, please say amen. Amen. Okay. And this is a very good chapter in the Bible, because Jesus talks about how he is the vine, all right? And we are the branches. Verse 7, he goes, if you abide in me, okay? So when we think about abiding, we're thinking about connecting. When you think about abide, thinking about in your house, right? You have that connection. If you abide in me, and then follow, watch this. It says, and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So we see here that it's in receiving God's word that we are abiding in Christ. Everybody following what I'm saying? It's in receiving God's word that we are abiding in Christ. The thing is, you know, we talk about, you know, what's in your wallet, you know? How many people have their wallet here today with them? Right? Right? Everybody has their wallet with them. Everybody remember to bring their wallet. Now, this is for yourself. How many people read their Bible before they came here today? You don't need to raise your hand. So why is it, you know, the one thing, the money that can come and go, we remember to do that, but the thing that will connect us to Christ, we don't take the time to do that. Now, this sermon is not to be condemning, but encouraging, because guess what? There's still time in the day today, right? But I bring out the point to say that it's in that connection with Jesus that we have that power. And it's in receiving God's word that we are connected to Jesus. Let me bring out an illustration today, a story that can help clarify these thoughts. Go to Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 and 13. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. This is the story of the centurion's faith. Okay. A few more moments. Amen. Okay. That's good. I was about to start reading too. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, Lord, my servant is laying paralyzed at home. Fearfully tormented, Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed, and the servant was healed that very moment. Okay, now let's think about this story. So a centurion was a Roman, right? Okay, centurion's a Roman, an outsider. Okay, he comes to Jesus. He says, Jesus, I have somebody that's sick. I'm just kind of summarizing this, right? And he asks Jesus to come. What does Jesus say he's going to do? Is Jesus going to come or not come? Is Jesus going to come or not come? He's going to come. Jesus is going to come. But then what does the centurion say? He goes, no, you don't need to come. You just send your word. Think about that. The centurion said, you don't need to come because your word is sufficient. Your word is sufficient because he knows that when he sends his word, that's as good as his presence and power. You know why Jesus doesn't need to be here? Because he gave it his Holy Spirit and he gave us the word. If you read Spirit of Prophecy, she says that in some ways we are closer to Jesus than the disciples were because of the Holy Spirit. That's why I talk about the importance of studying God's word. Because when we receive God's word, we're receiving his presence. And when we're receiving his presence, we're receiving his spirit. And it was the centurion's faith in his word that unlocked that power. Sometimes we don't have faith because we don't study. We don't see what God has done for other people and what God will do for us if we only believe. We're not familiar with those promises that are in God's word. We're not familiar with the love that God promises to have for us, right? So I implore and encourage us today that we take that time to study, because in receiving God's word, we receive his presence. Let's go to John chapter 7, verses. This is unfortunate. 35 through 37. Actually, sorry, 37 through 39. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. When you guys are there, you can say amen. Okay. The other importance of reading scripture, I'm going to try to bring this out. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, now if you're going to cry out, that means this is something important, right? We should pay attention to this. If I'm going to cry out and say something, like I'm doing now as preaching, this is something important. He goes, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And verse 38 is really what I want to focus on, because it goes, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow the rivers of living water. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. You know what I've come across? You know, many people, they have a view of Jesus, but it's not rooted in scripture. I'm just being honest. It's just not rooted in scripture. There is this view of Jesus that you could just do anything you want. Live any way you want. God doesn't care. That's not true, is it? There are many people, and here's the thing. You know what? I'll say this even about myself. Anything that I'm saying today, you shouldn't just believe. You need to study for yourself. Because you don't know what I was doing in the morning or in the last night, and I can come up here and just say whatever, right? We need to make sure we know Jesus for ourselves. We need to be studying for ourselves. Because what happens is sometimes, because we are not studying for ourselves, we are just basing our belief on something that's not grounded in Scripture. And we get these false conceptions of what God is calling us to do, what God wants us to do, and who God is. You see here in this connection that if we receive God as according to what the Scripture says, then we receive what? The Holy Spirit. In some ways, it is the study of Scripture, the reception of Scripture, that prepares our heart and mind for the Holy Spirit. And we all know that we need that. And it's the Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. Let me emphasize this again, because this is such an important principle. Go to Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 29. Okay. And this is Jesus talking to the disciples after his resurrection. He goes, "Now he said unto them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending you forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And so we know that what Jesus was asking them to do was to go and be prepared to receive the Holy Spirit. Is that true, right? To receive the promise of the Spirit. But what does he do? He takes the time to open their minds to the scriptures. Now, you know what's really funny about this to me? Is the fact that Jesus walked with them for 3.5 years. Now listen to what I'm saying. Jesus walked with them for 3.5 years. You know what he easily could have said? He goes, "Guys, you know me. Remember when I healed such and such? Remember when I did such and such? Remember when I did this and remember when I did that? Remember your personal experience with me?" Now don't get me wrong. I'm pretty sure that that probably was playing into their mind. But it was so important that their understanding of who he is and their mission was grounded in scripture that before he went to heaven, he did another Bible study with them. Think about that. Jesus walked with them for 3.5 years, walking, talking, eating. And before he left, he spent time with them to open their minds in the scripture because that's how important it was for them to receive the Holy Spirit. So what about us today? What about us today? I guess I'm impassioned about this topic because this is actually very personal to me. Like I said, I grew up in the church. I'm a third generation Adventist. I never thought I'd say that from a pulpit. My grandfather actually came to the truth. My parents, my family's from Nigeria, both parents. Coincidentally, both grandparents accepted the Adventist truth. And then one was a pastor on my mother's side, and then my parents accepted, and then it came to me. And I was baptized November 14th, 1998, okay? And there was a period in my life, actually the first year of college, when I went away, I didn't go to church. I didn't go to church for like a year. In fact, I started to go to church for a little bit, it was real strange. There was a guy that was coming to pick me up, but it just didn't seem like it's something that was for me at that moment in time in my life. Sometimes you go to college and you just kind of, it's not really something that's really important to you, you know? And the guy gave me a choice. We're still friends, but this is actually what he said to me. He says, "Well, when you get serious about coming to church, then you give me a call." Never heard from him again. No, never heard from him for a while. So I didn't go to church because I didn't have a ride and I really didn't want to go. But interestingly enough, something interesting, and this is I do not advocate and say this is the reason why. But this shows you how the Lord works. I actually met a girl in college that I liked. And for some reason, and I don't know why, and I still to this day think it must have been God, I was thinking, you know what? Relationships are serious things. I think God can help me with this. So guess what? I started reading my Bible. The girl broke up with me. But I kept on reading my Bible. Honestly, I didn't know what I really wanted to do, but I knew that God had a calling on my life. I knew that God wanted me to do something more than what I was just going to school for. And so I graduated. I was reading my Bible, and I was thinking, you know, Lord, you must want me to do something more with my life. And interestingly enough, and this is why I tell people, it's always important to serve, because sometimes in serving God, you can find your calling. So I was serving, and you know what I was doing? One of the first things I did in the church is that I was actually a Sabbath school teacher. I was a Sabbath school teacher. And I remember one time, like 14 years ago, I looked up and I said, "Lord, I want to be a teacher. This is what I want to do with my life. I want to be a teacher. I want to spend my time investing in young people and serving the Lord." And I kept on studying. And instead of being someone that was just kind of going through life seeking for a job, I found that in connecting myself to Jesus, I found a purpose in my life. Okay? And now, what? I'm a professor in a med school, right? And so the Lord led me in that. But here's the thing. When I look at my life now that I've accepted Christ and I have connected with him through my word, I see purpose in everything in my life. You know, sometimes as Christians, we think that I can do this, but God doesn't really care about this area of my life. The thing is, God wants to give you, as the Bible says, he goes, "Eye hath not seen." Anybody know this? "Ear hath not heard." Right? Nor entered into the heart of man the things that what God has prepared for those that love him. So it's funny, that verse that I read about, you know, if I abide in you and my words abide in you, you should, whatever you ask, you shall receive. You know why I remember that verse? It's because I remember claiming that verse the day after I met my soon-to-be wife. She didn't know that at the time. But I met her, and I claimed that verse. And I look at my life, and I realize that when it comes to our relationships, they're supposed to bring glory to God. When we are supposed to raise our children, it's supposed to be glory to God. When we go into our work, it's supposed to bring glory to God. But if we don't have that connection to Jesus, we lose sight of that. My job is not just to get up and go to school and do my work and go home. We are supposed to be vessels of light and love to those that are around us. Sometimes in our Christian experience, and I'll be honest, there are times, has anybody kind of felt like, what am I doing? You wonder why you're coming to church? You wonder, why am I showing up? What's the point of this whole thing? You know? Oftentimes that's because we're losing our connection. We're losing our connection. Because in Christ, there's going to be a purpose. Christ will show you what you're going to do. Oftentimes not right away and after some time, but he'll show you what you're supposed to do. But we have to make sure that we stay connected. We have to make sure that we are seeking to do God's work in his glory. So enough about me. We're going to move on. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. The title of the sermon is Liberty. And so as we come to a close, we'll talk about what Christ can free us from, among other things. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. "Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face, so the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." And as I was talking about this theme of receiving God's word and receiving his Spirit, does anybody know the context of that story? So when Moses was receiving the law, he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was there with God so much that he actually started to reflect the glory of God. Okay? He was reflecting the glory of God, but the children of Israel could not stand that glory. So he actually had to veil his face for them. Now it's interesting, because I think that sometimes we fall into the same trap as the children of Israel. The Bible talks about how the end of the law is Christ. That doesn't mean that the law has come to an end. Amen. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. But the end of the law is Christ. It's supposed to be Christ. Sometimes in our experience, we're caught up in the do's and the don'ts. We're caught up in everything just has to be right. We're caught up in this and that and what have you, right? But what's the point? The point is to see Jesus. Jesus Christ and his love for us, his death for us on the cross, is the organizing principle of our faith, right? It should be the organizing principle of our experience. And until we actually turn to Christ, we're always going to have a veil. We're not going to understand what it really is about, right? And then our religion will be a drudgery. But then it says here that if we receive Christ, we receive his Spirit. And his Spirit will change us. It'll transform us. And it will give us freedom. One of my favorite verses, and we'll close with this, is Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6. This is one of my favorite verses. It says, a few more moments. And so make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid what man will do to me. Many of our anxieties in life come from money or come from other people, right? Am I going to have enough? Is it always ever going to be enough? Right? Or it comes from other people. I'm worried about such and such, and I'm worried about this and that. But when we have this freedom that's in Christ, we don't have to worry about these things. Now, I didn't say go and quit your job. I just said we don't have to worry about these things. We don't have to be afraid of these things, because guess what? We have a higher calling. We have a higher purpose. Jesus said that in the last days, it'll be like in the days of Noah. Okay? Now, there's one spectrum, which we heard in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but then there's this. What does he say about in the days of Noah? People were what? Eating, drinking, giving into marriage. Well, anybody here like to eat?
Yes.
Anybody here like to drink?
Water.
Unfermented juice. Anybody like to drink that? How many people here are married? So is there anything wrong with these things? No, there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. But the temptation for many of us is that we get caught up in these things so much. That becomes our focus. That becomes what we are fixated on, making sure that we have enough, making sure that our kids have enough, making sure that we can afford the comfortable things in life, that we lose sight of the fact that Christ is coming back. Christ is coming back. I'm saying that for myself because sometimes I get caught up in it as well. But Christ is coming back. And if we're caught up in this world, if we're caught up in the things of this world, we may not be ready, unfortunately. Some of us may not be ready. But I believe that we all can be ready, because if we're spending time in prayer and study and in service, we don't have anything to fear, like it says in 1 John, because we will be like he is in this world. Amen. Okay.